This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
MB on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Not a snowy Wednesday, but a cold, gross, rainy Wednesday, I guess. Stay safe out there. As you're driving around doing virtual school, sneak an MP on the mic on your headphones. You know how it is. I'm not endorsing that. But if you're doing it, we're not mad. Stay tuned on the Odyssey app. Big night tonight, VCU, George Washington. Couple of good interviews to get you ready for that one. Zach Joachim joins us at 11. Robbie Robinson, voice of the Rams, at 11:30. George Washington kind of maybe got a little bit good this offseason, so we'll dive into that. Road wins, of course, always at a premium. Patrick Stevens, who, as you know, is the only bracket projector I trust. This show has stood on that since its inception. I have stood on that since he told me in the media room of the Richmond Coliseum in 2011 that VCU was going to make the field, which nobody else had projected at the time. And he's right more often than he's wrong. Bit of a bummer of a Patrick Stevens projection this morning. He's got VCU out. He says they do not have any quad one wins aside from Dayton. That is not good enough. Seton Hall hasn't aged well. Miami hasn't aged well. He doesn't think they got the resume. We got time. Still plenty of basketball between here and there. We got a whole month. We usually run Patrick. I'm sure he'll be at the A-10 tournament. We'll run him down. We'll get him on the show. But he's right more often than he's wrong. I would have told you that if the tournament started today, VCU would be in. But I'm not the expert. Patrick is the expert, and he says out. George Mason standing on its business. I don't want to be mean to George Mason, because I've been mean to George Mason. All right, are they frauds? Are we on fraud alert? They're going to St. Louis. Let's find out if they're for real. Gibson Jimerson played last night. Okay, so everybody's in full strength on full strength. Mason won that game like 7 times and gave it back every time. But they won in overtime in the end. So it feels like I want to do the whole like, okay, they won, but did they show us something? But you can't. It's a road win in the A-10 against a tough team with two very, very talented players. We'll let it slide, and we'll look forward to them coming to the Stew next weekend. We're back from Bud Light Big Game Week, which was a ton of fun. As we recounted on yesterday's program, I got into a little kerfuffle with the Philadelphia media. Not all of them. One podcast host in Philadelphia. Radio Row, 150 tables, people from all over the sporting world. They only had a trash can at every third table. Our table was not blessed with a trash can. That's okay. We had other good things. So I threw our trash away one day in the Eagles podcast trash can, which they made a bit of a scene about on the air. I think that's fair. It was a bit of a scene that they made on the air. And AWOD yesterday, during AWOD Radio, ruled against me. Said that I was being disrespectful of them because they were on the air at the time and I should have waited. I don't know who's on the air and not on the air. Everybody's on the air. Just everybody's getting distracted. Here's how Radio Row works. There are famous people there that are paid to be there by the company sponsoring them. You hear them talk about those. And the deal is we get them for 10 minutes and they talk about whatever they want to talk about. And then we get to ask them about football. It is a very fair trade. I promise you that. It is worthwhile. I know some people are, it's just a bunch of commercials. It's not. It's a one-minute commercial followed by 9 minutes of incredibly smart people who have played the game talking about it. It's very worthwhile for everybody. The other thing on Radio Row is everybody's feeling out the hierarchy, because on Friday, all the celebrities, all the stars are in town. Like Dan Marino's walking around. You know, all these guys like... So if you have a guy who's mid-tier, you got to walk him around on Wednesday. Otherwise, you won't stand a shot of getting on ESPN, on Fox, on NBC. And sometimes guys miss. And look, I like what we do here. I'm proud of what we do here. We are not at the top of the order, the batting order, for getting celebrity guests. I think we did very well last week. But we're, when the PR guy's walking around, it's not make sure you get on 910 The Fan. We're sitting next to 106.7 The Fan in D.C. That station has a bigger audience than us. Until everybody in Northern Virginia moves down here, which seems to be happening, we will hit the tipping point at some point, and then we'll be the big fan, and they'll be the little fan. We'll be the big fajita, they'll be the little fajita. And so you've got guys who end up on our show who shouldn't be on our show. Will Anderson being the classic example of that. He was the number three draft pick of the Houston Texans last year. He's a bona fide star. He's walking around on Friday, but the Texans don't have juice, didn't have a star season, and I guess there was not as much Will Anderson demand as anticipated. So we end up with Will Anderson. It was a great interview because from the PR perspective, they've paid for 4 hours of Will Anderson talking about Jif peanut butter. And in any 10-minute block where he's not talking about Jif peanut butter, that is a waste of their 10-minute block. You can't do it. You're paying him whether he's chilling for peanut butter or not. Chilling for peanut butter on the Fan Richmond is better than chilling for nothing in a corner of the room. So we end up with celebrities. It's awesome. All of which is to say, it was a very roundabout way of saying these PR people are walking around. They're always tapping you on the shoulder like, hey, are you on the air? Are you on the air? Like, nobody knows who's on the air. I'm wearing the headset all day. Nobody knows if I'm on the air or not. All they want to know is, do you want this guy who played on the 1963 Decatur Staleys to come talk about CBD pills? Like, they got to get our Decatur Staley star over here so he can talk about CBD pills so they can justify to their bosses coming back to New Orleans for a week next year. That's how Radio Row works. It is a distraction. The whole thing's one big distraction. Sometimes we say yes, and sometimes we say no. We're too good for that. We're 910 The Fan. Why don't you go check in with the Eagles podcast over there? Maybe they'll have you. So I threw the trash away. It threw them for a loop. They could not continue their podcast. They had to go to break. Big miss for the Eagles podcast. The Black and Gold Fan Podcast is our VCU fan podcast. This is AWOD's crew. One of them is a diehard Eagles fan. Congrats to you. We're all just so happy for you. And he listened to this, heard this happen live, reached out and said, is that you, MP? Yeah, that's me. But then he emailed the hosts, and AWOD played this clip for me on his show yesterday.
I am blown away that Philadelphia played for the Super Bowl, and this is what they aired. Unedited, 2 minutes of their podcast. Let's take a listen.
Guru, I want to start today with one of my favorite subject lines I've ever seen in one of these emails. The subject line was, if I can find it here, I know the trash can guy.
Oh.
So we got a little insight on the trash can guy.
I know the trash can guy. It sounded like a Cowsill song. What trash can guy? Oh, you mean during the podcast or the one
during the last podcast. Hi, Dave. Herb, love the pod. You don't have to read the below info on the pod if you don't want. Guess what? I do. I grew up in Bryn Mawr, PA, and went to VCU in Richmond, Virginia for college. I cover VCU basketball for a podcast and sit next to Redacted of 910 The Fan at Press Row, who may have been the culprit of the trash incident on Thursday's pod. I can vouch he is very friendly and it seemed unintentional, trying to keep the peace. That's from Chris. Have we forgiven the trash can guy?
I covered a basketball tournament at VCU when Drexel had their great year when they were like 28-1 and didn't make the tournament. And they lost to VCU. The kid from Trenton Catholic missed a three at the buzzer. Just back when one of the greatest games I've ever seen. But was there a question there? Or were we just supposed to talk about VCU basketball? Richmond's a cool town.
Trash can guy. Do we forgive trash can guy?
Sure.
He says begrudgingly, okay, trash can guy is off the list.
Sure. Yes, let's forgive him. Is that better?
Yeah.
That's it, Michael. That's the clip.
it's fantastic.
Is the old man
Adam.
Senile? What is? You're just going on about VCU basketball. He completely lost the plot line. The email said, "I know the trash guy."
You can tell it's a riveting podcast when one of the hosts just sings back the words another guy says to him.
Stuff from the top ropes.
I love Stubbs. Stubbs, great. that was part two of the trash can saga. They won the Super Bowl. You won the Super Bowl. I have two questions. One, why are we still addressing the trash can when you should be talking about how you won the Super Bowl? If the Commanders ever win the Super Bowl, an entirety of the next day's show will be devoted to just me just saying the Commanders won the Super Bowl. We're not making time for 3 minutes of trash can emails. We're not doing it. We are in bit season. You're not in bit season. You have a parade to plan. Come on. Number two, are we recording at the bottom of the ocean? What happened there? Are we? Is this a tin can on Broad Street?
It is a tin can on Broad Street.
It's a tin can on Broad Street. Number three, I was at that game. Shout out Bruiser Flint of the Drexel Dragons, who was my favorite coach to cover in the CAA by a huge margin. I talk about Blaine Taylor the most because he had the mustache and he was like classic bad guy. Came here with ODU every year. Can't believe I have to play as a neutral site tournament in Richmond, Virginia. Bruiser was charismatic, fun, had those Drexel teams rolling. 2012, so this is the 13-year anniversary, they were the number one team in the CAA. VCU was number two. They played in the title game on Monday night, Big Monday, at the Richmond Coliseum. VCU beat them by three. VCU made the tournament. Drexel, which had only had one loss in conference play, got sent to the NIT. Bruiser Flint is still somewhere very upset about that basketball game. And the CAA tournament rocked, man. Nothing was better. I remember a startling number of those CAA title games. I'm not even sure if I'm supposed to say this, but the statute of limitations has passed. Matt Brady was the JMU basketball coach, and he had had just three bad years in a row. They get to the CAA tournament. Whenever he loses, he's getting fired. Like, that is very, very obvious. What do you know? They go on a run. They win the stupid thing, and they make the NCAA tournament. And you can't fire a coach who goes dancing. Those are the rules. It's Ryan Day at Ohio State. Can't touch him if he wins the natty. And so JMU wins the title, and I look over at a senior member of their administration sitting there at the table with the saddest look I've ever seen on a man whose team just advanced to the NCAA tournament, because it sentenced them to three more years of bad basketball because you couldn't get rid of them.
Well, I gotta say, no wonder they don't remember you, Mr. Trash Can Guy. There's a lot to keep track of that night.
They don't remember the trash can incident. They have forgiven.
Begrudgingly.
I guess I accept their apology. We're still doing bits next year. It's all good. Congrats to the Eagles. Again, we're all very happy for you. There's more show after this. You're listening to
910 The Fan, 105.1 FM.
VCU game night, 7 o'clock tonight. Up at George Washington. You'll see it on Peacock if you don't have Peacock, which I do not. I'll be listening on the Odyssey. I'm 910 The Fan, Robbie Robinson. On the call, he joins us now, as he does, on VCU Game Days. Robbie, good morning. You in D.C. yet, or you still in Richmond?
You know, we actually came early yesterday. We didn't really know what to do with the snow and the ice,
yep.
And we got out about 11 o'clock yesterday, and we are here. We've been here for the last 2 days, which has been great.
Great. I know you love your morning run. I don't know how the weather is up there, but that is a great city to have a morning run in.
It is. I am not going to be able to get that in today, which I think is just the 6 inches of snow that D.C. has and the weather and all that is... It was a tough run this morning, so I got to figure out another way to do it.
Yeah, that's what the gym's for, I guess. Well, exactly. Either way, 7 o'clock tonight. Theme of the show today, Robbie. We are taking George Washington seriously. This is not the traditional drive up there, 20-point win, enjoy the bus ride back. This team's on the come up right now.
Well, they're really good at home, I think, when you look at it. They've only lost two games at home. They lost to Rhode Island at home, and they lost to Duquesne at home, and they lost to George Mason at home. Otherwise, they're undefeated here. So you're correct. And I think also coming back from last year, MP, like they came to the Siegel Center last year and they beat the Rams, which was the first time they had ever done that, I believe, and up and down in Richmond. So, yeah, the theme of the show is right on the money. This is not – we really don't want to look ahead. You know, we have a week off after today. We don't play for another 7 days. So this is one that is in our crosshairs. And I would expect our guys to be locked in. I mean, that when you have an older, experienced team like we do, and you've got guys like Max Schulga and Joe Bamisil and Zeb Jackson, those guys know what it takes to win basketball games, and they know the right mindset to be in. And I'd be really surprised if we came in, not to say we're going to play great from the very get-go. They've got game plans against us just like we have game plans against them. But MP, I think this team's at the point now where they know what it takes to win, and they're going to enter each game with that mindset.
It's going to be a ton of fun. You mentioned Max and Zeb and the veterans. Take me back to Dayton. Even just watching on TV, man, that was such a good atmosphere there. So much fun. And I don't know if he's going to be the A-10 player of the year, but I know that whoever the A-10 player of the year is going to need to do things like that. Just down 5, 4 minutes left. Everybody jump on my back. Let's do this thing.
Well, yeah, and I think that game was great for so many reasons. First of all, it's just hard to win up there. It just is. You're right. I mean, it's 14,000 people, and it's loud, and it's well choreographed, and there's a reason that it's one of the best atmospheres around. And to win up there with all that, and also, Michael, not shooting great from behind the three-point line. Like, we only hit, I think, 6 threes, as opposed to the previous two games, where like 15 and 16 threes. So being able to win there without having to hit double-digit three-point numbers was huge. And, yes, I mean, Zeb Jackson, I think, for sure, free throws down the stretch were critical. He made all of them. That was the difference. You need your seniors to be able to step up and do that, and Zeb did. And so all those things come into play. You take a step back, and you're like, man, like that was a very fulfilling win because there wasn't a lot of fool's gold and a ton of made threes. You know, we held another very good Dayton team to under 70 points, and down the stretch, we were able to run away and hide on a 19-9 run.
And Zeb's line was fascinating. It's 13 points at the free throw line?
Yeah, I think, was he 13 or 14 from the free throw line? He had maybe 16 points overall, or maybe 14 or 15. I mean, we were 17 of 19 from the free throw line, so he made 13 of our 17 threes. And, you know, Zeb's our best free throw shooter. Michael, he's an 86% free throw shooter, and he's been to the line a lot, so we didn't fake it to get to 86%. Like, he's a legit 86% free throw shooter.
It's a ton of fun to watch, and these guys are rolling right now, and big game tonight, VCU at George Washington, as Robbie mentioned. They're very good at home. You set the stage a little bit here. They're off for a week after this. We'll be back home next week for two, and obviously nobody's overlooking UMass. They're all important this time of year, but man, if we were looking ahead, which we're definitely not, Robbie, we'd be looking ahead to next Saturday, George Mason coming to town. I think that's got the chance to be a stellar hoops atmosphere.
Oh, it's going to be phenomenal. And the game's sold out. Like, there's no way to get tickets via VCU Athletics. You have to go in the secondary market if you want to get tickets. And even then, they're hard to come by. George Mason's for real, Michael. I mean, they are not a paper tiger. They won last night at St. Louis. They've won at St. Bonaventure. Those are two places the Rams have not won this year. They beat Dayton at Dayton, just like we beat Dayton at Dayton. So when you look at it, apples to oranges, like, we're right there. You know, two teams that are both very good. And, yes, you and I are allowed to overlook it. There's two more basketball games that are super important. But, fortunately, you and I don't have anything to do with those outcomes. So we can talk about whatever we want to talk about. And if we did, we need to be paid more because, well, that would be the way that goes. I think that game's going to be a war. I think it's going to be a zoo in the Siegel Center. I can just kind of see the Siegel Center percolating right now, and I would imagine it's going to be an all-out just electrified atmosphere that day. And if you're a Ram fan and you got tickets to that game, you have tickets to what's going to be a sensational atmosphere. It'll be a fun, but it's going to be a good game. Like, I think we can't take them lightly either, just because George Mason hasn't been at the top of the charts in the A-10 in the last couple of years, and we've had our way with them more times than not. it's a different coach and a different team, and we've got to we'll have to play great. But you know, it's like an old CAA matchup, right? MP, like back in the day when the Patriots were at the top of the CAA and we were chasing them, or vice versa. That's what it's going to feel like.
Doc Nix and the Green Machine, you know, Ryan and the Peppas. Those were games right there.
It is so good. Like, we want them to be good, right?
Yes.
Like, that would be great for them to be fantastic, and every time we play them as a war. And I think deep down inside, you want that with your rivals. It's great to whip up on Richmond by 41 like we did a couple weeks ago, but ultimately, like, we do this for close games that, you know, drive your stomach and get your heart palping, and that's what I think we'll get on that Saturday.
It is so funny the CAA came up. This is the second CAA poll to show. Robbie, for reasons that are probably too deep to go into, I have beef with a Philadelphia Eagles podcast dating back to last week on Radio Row in New Orleans, where I threw away my lunch in their trash can, and they devoted a segment of their podcast to how rude that was of me. We ended up burying the hatchet today, which I guess is the relevant portion of this story, so we're all good now. The guy did his podcast, and he forgave me, which was very big of him, and he remembered his trip to Richmond in 2012 for Drexel's CAA title game against VCU. VCU won that one, and I was reminiscing on Bruiser Flint, who is probably my one seed of CAA coaches I most wanted to interview at the time. There's a lot there, Robbie. There's a lot there to unpack, I know.
Yeah, I don't know where you want me to start with that, NT, but first of all, like, a podcaster? All right, good for him. Second of all, did he go to Drexel? Is that what it was?
Or he
was
just Philly media, so he came down to cover Drexel in the CAA title game, yeah.
Good for him. Those were great games, and that was a sensational win for our program, if you think about it, because we'd been to the Final Four the year before, and winning that tournament, and that was when I think Darius Theus hit a couple free throws down the stretch, we validated how good of a program we were, that we weren't just a flash in the pan, you know, Final Four one year and then right back to the Dregs the next year. Like, we went back to the tournament that year. So that was a pretty pivotal part in VCU basketball history, was that game that your friend who was upset at the way you disposed of your lunch was that. And Bruiser Flint, I mean, Bruiser's great. I mean, we all, any Ram fan that has any history remembers Bruiser. It's just gregarious on the sideline, fun to pick at. He'd kind of snipe back at you, just a typical, just a great, fun coach that we would enjoy beating. And I mean, they got us a few times too, no doubt, but they didn't get us that day in 2012 at the Coliseum.
That was a fun one, no doubt, and we'll be up in D.C. in exactly 1 month. Well, we won't be because VCU's not going to play on the Wednesday up there, but 1 month and 2 days, most likely, starting on Friday, A-10 tournament in D.C. I know a lot of Rams fans are going to find their way up 95. Hopefully a few do tonight as well. VCU, George Washington, Robbie Robinson on the call, 7 o'clock, right here on The Fan. Robbie, enjoy your day in D.C., and we'll hear from you tonight.
All right, MP, we look forward to being on. Adam will be on at 6:15, and we'll have the call at 7, my friend.
6:15 pregame, get yourself back here. Robbie Robinson, voice of the Rams from Foggy Bottom, VCU, George Washington tonight. We do not overlook George Washington on this program. We are back with more after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1. MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in 11 minutes. Robbie Robinson, voice of the Rams, joins the show on this VCU-centric Wednesday. We are reminding ourselves that we take George Washington seriously at this program. It's a hard thing to do. We're taking them seriously tonight. They're right, floating right in the middle. A-10 play. Road game, as Zach mentioned in that previous segment. Grab the Odyssey app if you missed it. Getting healthy. Have been good at home. Have certainly, you know, had some nice wins in A-10 play. We're keeping an eye on them for sure. Last night, I struggle. I go back and forth on what happened last night. Because you had a... Mason had a nice win at St. Louis. There's just no... We can't do the asterisk game because it was a nice win at St. Louis, full stop. St. Louis was healthy. Avila played. Jemerson played. Everybody played. But, man, they looked like VCU looked in Charleston, did not have the killer instinct, unable to finish. And I just feel like I came away from that saying, All right, yeah, let's go. It's going to be a game here, February 22nd. Circle it. And by the way, if they don't slip up, it may not matter if VCU beats them, because VCU would have to run it perfect down the stretch, and they're hosting Dayton. There's a scenario where VCU beats Mason at the Siegel Center and still is the 2 seed going into D.C. if Mason runs the table outside of that. Lots of basketball between here and there. Lots of things that can happen. But yeah, I think for all intents and purposes, we're eyeing that as a battle for the 1 seed in the tourney, and you hope they end up on opposite sides of the bracket so they can play on Sunday and we can have ourselves just a good old-fashioned throwdown between the Rams and the Patriots with an NCAA tourney bid on the line. I got to check in with our friends, the William and Mary Tribe. I regret to inform you they have lost 2 in a row. So Tribe Watch here has cooled down a touch. They are 8-4 in CAA play. CAA tournament will be in D.C. right before the A-10 tourney starts. They'll wrap up Tuesday night before we have Pillow Fight Wednesday at the A-10. William & Mary's sitting on the 5 seed right now in that tournament. I need you to be top 4 to feel good about this. As you know, nothing more important for this program than getting William & Mary into an NCAA tournament. Need to make that happen for the Tribe. We will continue to beat the drum for it. It's never happened. Need it to happen. They're a fun team, fun style. Tony Shaver coached them forever. We rooted hard for them. They made a really bad coaching switch. Wandered through the wilderness there for a couple of years, but the Tribe is back. Spread the word. Gary Hess probably has something to say about that too. Gary Hess knows everything about everything, so we'll get a Tribe report from him when he swings by tomorrow at 10:15. Tomorrow at 10:30, we've got from MRN, we're going to have a Daytona 500 preview. Yes, it is Daytona 500 time. We're going racing with Steve Post. He's going to be there at the biggest race of the year, Daytona 500. NASCAR season starts off. A reminder, we air so many sports, we move that over to the sister station, 1140 WRVA MRN Motor Racing Network. Coming back at you full speed this year, Daytona 500 this weekend from Daytona Beach, Florida. That will be a ton of fun as well. Other basketball item of note last night. Here's how you know it cracked through. Like, this is the number one lead story everywhere nationally this morning. It's not that UConn beat Creighton. It's that Dan Hurley walked off the court pointing to his fingers and somebody's heckling him from the stands, and he yells back, "Two rings, Baldy, two rings." A devastating blow.
Got him.
Devastating blow that our friend Baldy cannot possibly respond from.
How will he recover?
Give a little credit where it's due to Creighton, which, big game. UConn's in town. Nobody knows if UConn's any good this year or not. Dan Hurley keeps throwing fits. They made it dollar beer night at Creighton with Dan Hurley there. That's how you ensure a lovely environment for college sports right there. Creighton just leaning at dollar beers and come yell whatever you want at Dan Hurley. Creighton leaning into this. We got ourselves a rivalry. We got ourselves a good old-fashioned Big East rivalry. UConn, by the way, is going to end up as an 8 or a 9 seed. And that is fair. But, man, you don't want to be the 1 seed staring at that one. There's always the one. There's always the one matchup, the one site where CBS is going to be there Sunday, 4 o'clock, with Jim Nance doing the primo game. There's always what that's going to be wherever UConn ends up. You're going to have an 8-seed UConn against one of the 1 seeds. I feel bad for the 1 seed. Is it going to be Duke? Is it going to be somebody else? They got to have that primo game Sunday afternoon, 4 o'clock. 60 minutes later in its entirety afterward, except on the West Coast, where they'll view it at its regularly scheduled time. That I'm not saying there's a conspiracy. I'm just saying they always set it. There's always a Tom Izzo 7 seed going against a 2 seed Marquette. We had that last go round. They always set up one of them. I remember the Wichita State Final Four team as the 8 against the Jayhawks. Kansas is the 1 in state rivalry. There's always one. You don't want to be that one. Duke's flying towards the one seed out of the ACC. Clemson's playing some nice basketball. They got Duke. It's good to have two marquee teams out of the ACC because it is. In last year, if you sneak some teams into the Final Four, it forgives a lot of other things. That NC State magical run was really good for the conference, made everybody forget briefly that this conference is regressing in a lot of big-time ways in basketball. They're just not what they used to be. Get a couple teams to the Final Four, everybody forgets about that. You know I'm fired up. Coach K's in town Saturday night at the Richmond Forum, and I get to do the Q&A with Coach K after he speaks at the Richmond Forum, which is super cool because I'm not... Like, I've been here 17 years now, 18 years now in Richmond. That's not long enough to be, like, a forum guy, you know. Like, those tickets are, like, those are lifer tickets. Those get handed down in the family. So I get to sneak in for a night, pretend like I'm somebody, ask Coach K some questions as submitted by the audience. So I'm excited to see what y'all come up with. We'll play some of that on the Monday show just for fun and to recap it. As we get into basketball season, it's turn the page time. Daytona 500, basketball, don't worry, we'll still sneak in some Commanders talk along the way. But it's a VCU game night tonight. It's a big one in Foggy Bottom. VCU at George Washington. Robbie Robinson joins us on the other side to get us ready. You're listening to 910 The Fan, not 105.1.
910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. VCU game night. You'll hear it on the Odyssey app. You'll also hear it on the Peacock streaming channel. How did it end up there? Nobody knows. Zach Joachim joins us on Wednesdays, though, to talk all things VCU sports. Zach, my new neighbor. We opened an office for the Richmonder this week, and he lives like literally across the street. So we're buddies now. Zach, lots to get to here because VCU's rolling. We had an exciting game last night. Mason's rolling. George Washington, maybe kind of good. Do we need to respect this matchup here? Sounds like maybe we do.
I could throw things across Franklin Street, and I think I might be able to hit you guys.
So, please do.
So keep your heads on a swivel.
Let's run a string with a metal cup. You know what I'm talking about across. We could have like our little telegraph system.
Well, you guys could record the segment that way.
That sounds fun. Also, I'm a big Peacock fan. I'll just throw that out there. Love me some Premier League. That's how I watch.
Oh, of course. You once no, this is true. Zach installed, that's not the word. Boy, I sound old. Put Peacock on the office TV at the Times Dispatch so that he could watch the Premier League. We all benefited from it though, because I just turned it on anytime I wanted and it was logged in. So maybe I'll drive over to East Franklin Street tonight and enjoy the game. I'm sure nobody would mind.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
There's some people there, we both know who I'm talking about, who resent my soccer fandom a little bit. So I had to put it on in the office to make a statement. That was the idea there. But anyway, G-Dub 16-8, 5-6 in the A-10, they are decent. And, you know, they've been good at home. They're 11-2 in Foggy Bottom, which I laugh every time VCU goes there because I think of the SpongeBob episode where he gets on the bus and he gets lost in Rock Bottom. I don't know why, but that's where my brain goes when I hear Foggy Bottom. But they're good at home. Darren Buchanan is getting healthy. Super talented sophomore that missed stretches of the year early on with an injury, and he's getting healthy recently. And Rafael Castro, VCU has got to box him out. He leads the A-10 in rebounding at 9.3 per game. He's got 85 offensive rebounds on the year. That leads the A-10 by a pretty wide margin. I think the two keys to victory tonight, VCU crashed the offensive glass, which they've done well for long stretches this year, and protect the rim, because G-Dub's not a good outside shooting team. They really score by getting to the cup, and Luke Van Boyer and Christian Furman have been a nationally elite shot-blocking combo all year. I think VCU 11th nationally, 10th nationally in block percentage at 15.4%. So those two guys protect the rim, and G-Dub has been susceptible to teams crashing the offensive glass against them. They're 289th in the country in defensive offensive rebound percentage, essentially. So they allow teams to crash the offensive glass. And VCU has been elite in that regard. They're 26th nationally in offensive rebound percentage. So it is a tough trip to Foggy Bottom tonight. Bit of a trap game, too, I think, just emotionally, coming off the highs of that win at Dayton on Friday night, which I'm sure we'll get to in a second. And then ahead of a week off here, because VCU doesn't play again until next Wednesday when they host UMass. So it is a bit of a tough trip on paper, and the Rams have no margin for error down the stretch here if they want to stay in the at-large conversation.
That's Zach Joachim, Richmond Times Dispatch, richmond.com. It's the Revolutionaries tonight, George Washington, up there in Foggy Bottom. I definitely want to go back to Dayton with you because you were there. What a statement 3 minutes there. They're down five. Max and Zeb just decide, we're leaders, let's get this thing done, let's have ourselves a night. What was that like inside the arena?
I thought that the fouls were going to be VCU's undoing. Right. I mean, to that point, outstanding game, right? 14 ties, 13 lead changes. Although VCU led for 24-42, Dayton only for 8-05. So it was the Flyers playing catch up for most of the night. But neither team stretched out that lead much. VCU's biggest lead was 7, Dayton's was 5. But Dayton was in the double bonus early in that second half. I thought that was really going to hurt VCU. But then, man, there's a screenshot that has made the rounds a little bit. 3:20 on the clock. Dayton's up 59-54, and that's right before Jack Clark makes the pass from the top of the key to Max Scholga on the right wing for the three that kickstarted that run off of a great flare screen from Christian Furman, who doesn't get enough credit for how good of a screener he is. But I thought the fouls were going to kill VCU, but as you said, Scholga and Jackson stepped up. Scholga had the steal. He's been much improved defensively this year and certainly showed that in those key moments right after the three. That made it a quick 5-0 run, tied up the game, and then VCU was off and running. And Jackson, in what's been an up-and-down season for him, right, a team captain that started for all of last year, the playing time has dried up a little bit this year, but credit to him. He's a Toledo, Ohio native, and for him to have one of his best games in the year in front of a lot of friends and family there was huge. Ended up with 17 points, even though he was only 2 of 11 from the field, 13 of 14 at the free throw line, man. That's one off the program record for made free throws in a game. So you're absolutely right. Those two guys stepped up, and VCU stepped up defensively, collectively, right? Dayton, 19 turnovers, VCU 30 points off of them. 11 of them were steals, and a few of them came in that key late game sequence.
It was fun. I want to say something. I'll have you react to it here. Max Scholga, I think he's having one of the great all-time great VCU basketball seasons. I really do. I think he came back so good. He's dominant. He's not like Mr. Statistical Leader. I think he's A-10 first team. I really do. I think he'll get that recognition. It just feels like maybe we don't appreciate that he's entering the VCU pantheon great for whatever the reason is. Maybe because there's so much, not star power, but like charismatic guys on this team. And I'm thinking, obviously, Phil and Joe. You know, there's a lot of guys kind of taking the fan energy. I think maybe we're sleeping on how good Max is right now.
I think he's the front runner for A-10 Player of the Year.
That's where
and
I'm at.
Even though the scoring doesn't jump off the page at you, my friend Tyler Cronin from the 3-Bid League podcast did a ranking of, I think, the A-10's top 50 players last week and on the season, and he had Scholga at 1. Even though he didn't even lead this team in scoring, to your point. Joe Bamonseal leads this team in scoring at 15.8 points per game. Scholga's at 15.3. But you've asked him about this in post-game press conferences, and it's been a big part of the narrative and the NBA draft process last year. And I really think that scouts told him they wanted to see him develop all-around game. Everyone knew he could score it. He could shoot from outside. He's got a good dribble drive game, really good at drawing fouls and getting to the free throw line. But defensively, in the rebounding battle, he's just improved so much this year. I mean, 15.3 points per game, 5.9 rebounds per game. He's second on the team in rebounds, third on the team in rebounding, 3.9 assists per game, that leads the team, and 2 steals per game, that leads the team. So he's just done a little bit of everything this year, and it's come in clutch moments a lot of the time too, right? He's this team's closer, and not just from a shot-making perspective, but from a defensive perspective too. And his stat line Friday at Dayton illustrates that, right? 16 points, 3 steals, 3 assists, 8 rebounds. It's a team-high 8 rebounds. tied for the team lead in steals with 3, and a team high plus 8 box over box plus minus, right? So he's affecting winning plays more than any other player on this team on a consistent basis, and he hasn't had to carry them scoring for stretches like he did last year, and that's really allowed him to affect the game in so many different phases this year.
He's the closer, and he closed in Dayton, and man, that was a nice one to close. And get to Richmond.com. Make sure you read Zach Joachim's article about traveling with the team for that game. Cool behind-the-scenes experience. Robbie Robinson retweeted that yesterday. If you need a place to find that, really cool article, really cool experience. We are exactly 1 month away from hanging out at the A-10 tournament in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, man.
Well, I say that. We're 1 month away from Pillow Fight Wednesday at the A-10 tournament. I say with great confidence, I will not be there on Wednesday. Maybe the Spiders will, so maybe you will. I don't know. But I won't be there Wednesday. We'll be there Friday, for sure, hanging out, watching basketball. Give me your gut feel. It's February 12th. We're 1 month away from this thing starting. Is this a one-bid league, or can we sneak a second across the finish line between now and then?
I think BCU is the only hope, really, for sneaking a second. I know Mason's playing outstanding basketball right now. And you're right, that win last night against St. Louis was wild. Tony Skin has got that team playing phenomenal defense right now. And that game at the Siegel Center on the 22nd, oh my goodness, that's going to be outstanding. It's probably going to be straight up
for
first place in the A-10.
Thank you for saying that, because AWOD keeps getting mad at me saying I'm looking ahead. I'm not looking ahead. I'm just acknowledging that's the biggest game of the year, full stop.
And it's two games, right? BCU has that week off. It's just G-Dub and UMass in between that, and there's separation between BCU and Mason and the rest of the A-10 right now, right? Mason's 11-1 in conference play, BCU 9-2 before this G-Dub game tonight, and then St. Louis is next at 7-5. Then there's a big pack there led by Dayton and Loyola, both at 6-5. And so BCU is the only team with a chance of getting an at-large bid, though. The only chance that this team gets multiple bids to the A-10 tournament, I think, is that BCU wins out from now through at least the semifinals. Preferably the final in terms of the Rams' hopes, and then someone else wins the conference and becomes a bid stealer, because I just don't think Mason maybe if they won out up until that point, but they're way behind. I mean, they're in the 60s in net, and BCU's in the 30s, and we're talking about BCU right now being in the next four out, right, even after that Dayton win. And so I just don't think that the Patriots have the margin to catch up down the stretch here. If BCU needs to win out, and they're, 20-plus spots in the net ahead of Mason, I just don't see how the Patriots get there. And that's a shame. I know everyone in the A-10 is frustrated with that, because everyone wants this league to return to the point that it was when it was, what, how long ago was it? Were they getting 5 and 6 bids in the heyday? It doesn't feel like that was that long ago. And now you're really down to, on a yearly basis, a one-bid league, and it's tough. So I think the only chance they get multiple is that BCU wins out to the semifinals or the championship game on that Saturday and Sunday, and the Rams get the at-large, and then somebody else gets the auto bid.
It would be super fun, though, to get to Sunday in D.C., George Mason against VCU, Pep is against the Green Machine. Maybe a little of that CAA magic rubbing off. I only talk about that all the time. But I think we got a shot. I think we could do it again.
That would be awesome, and it'd be kind of for the crown of Virginia too this year, right?
With
the
state champs,
UVA struggling, and Tech has been better in ACC play. Shout out to Toby Lawal; he's having a great season over in Blacksburg. But down year collectively for basketball in the state, William and Mary, though, they could be a story here down the stretch of CAA play. They can finally get that NCAA tournament bid. But BCU and Mason have been the two best college basketball teams in the state this year. So it's not only a battle for the top of the A-10, it's a battle for the top of the Commonwealth.
I would 100% buy a shirt that says VCU state champs. Absolutely. Sign me up for one of those. Zach Joachim, Richmond.com, Richmond Times Dispatch. He'll have a live blog tonight. It'll have a fun photo. It won't be the same one that he used to always use. We got that nipped in the bud early on this season. I'm proud of that. Did my little part. Go read his story about being on the team playing for Dayton. Anything else you want to mention before we let you go?
Man, everybody, if you get a chance, get up to UD Arena and go to a college basketball game there. It was magic. I had high expectations, and it blew them away. The student section, 13.4 thousand, feels like a professional arena. I had goosebumps being there, man. And thank you for plugging the behind-the-scenes article, too, because thank you to VCU Athletics for giving me that access to fly with the team. That was a special experience. And the Dayton fans, they're rabid, but I must say, they were classy the whole time I was there. Very complimentary, wanted to talk some good stuff about the rivalry, and bought me and Evan Nicely and Chris Kowalczyk some drinks at the bar the night before the game. So good people up there in Dayton, Ohio.
Good hearty Midwestern folk. Let's get some dubs so you don't have to go back to Dayton this year, because that would be one trip to Dayton's good. Two trips might be bad. Better than, of course, nothing in March, but we're still we're aiming to stay on the other side of that line. He's Zach Joachim, Richmond.com, Richmond Times Dispatch. Thank you for joining us. We're back with more after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. 105.1 FM, always worldwide on the free Odyssey app, or if you listen for an hour today or any day between now and February 23rd, you're entered to win a trip to Vegas. Go watch the big games in Vegas, and we'll put 20 grand in your pocket as spending money. I did not even know we had 20 grand. That's exciting to know. I'm going to spend an hour listening to the Odyssey app today. I'm sure I'm not eligible. Official rules on the Odyssey website. But I hope you win. Invite me if you win. Invite me. I don't know what the rules are. But if you win and you're allowed to invite me, I reluctantly accept. I'm willing to forego important, time in Richmond, cleaning up my driveway over and over again, to go out to Vegas and watch some games this March. I would do it. I'd take one for the team. Tonight is the start of the Four Nations Face-Off. This is the NHL's newest event. They're pausing the season for a week, and this is the precursor to next year when the NHL players will be at the Olympics in Italy. We're exactly 1 year away from the Olympics starting next year, Winter Olympics, which, yeah, for Winter Olympics. Are you Winter Olympics or Summer Olympics? Choose your fighter.
Oh, Winter Olympics.
Because?
Snowboarding. They do the flips?
I learned something the other day, and this is not where this segment was headed, but we're in the rabbit hole, so it's too late now.
Let's go.
The X Games, which are, I respect an X Games snowboarding medal more than an Olympic snowboarding medal. Just on the credibility scale, I believe that is the pinnacle of what they do. I have a take that the Olympics should be the pinnacle event of what the only sports allowed in the Olympics should be, that the Olympic gold is the most valuable thing you can obtain in that sport. Because like you line up tennis players, like, would you rather win tennis gold or Wimbledon? They're going to pick Wimbledon. Mm. Would you rather win the Stanley Cup or the Olympic gold? They're going to pick the Stanley Cup, most likely. It's fuzzy there. Some guys, I think Alex Ovechkin would actually pick the gold for Russia. So we allow it. That sport is allowed. Golf? No, they want the Masters green jacket. That's the pinnacle of the sport. Not allowed. Snowboarding, we will need to line up people. Bobsled, skiing, that is the pinnacle of your sport. Lindsey Vonn, can you name another thing she won that's not an Olympic gold medal? Nobody can. It's the pinnacle of the sport. So that's my criteria for whether it should be allowed in the Olympics or not.
That makes sense.
Is it the biggest thing to happen in your sport? Period?
Okay, so bring back breakdancing.
Obviously.
Whew, ray gun.
What, prior to the Olympics, what was the biggest thing that the breakdancer could have happened to them? What's the big...
Beyond World of Dance?
Nobody. So you think you can dance. Dancing with the Stars Season 2 champion. I don't know. Whatever it was, Olympics is the pinnacle. And they are going to end up only giving out one Olympic gold in breakdancing ever, which I would argue makes it even more valuable. There's only one across the whole history of time and space Olympic breakdancing champion.
Definitely more valuable.
It's a sport with one person standing at the pinnacle. One man, one woman, that's it. Those are the only people at the pinnacle of breakdancing forever, unless they come to their senses and bring Ray Gunn back.
That's right.
As they should.
Uh-huh.
So the Four Nations Face-Off is inspired by... Baseball has, I think, done this very successfully with the World Baseball Classic. There's an appetite for countries playing against each other beyond the Olympics. It's also... Hockey is a brutal, grueling sport. It's tough to do. So... For the next 7 days, they're assembling all-star teams from the U.S., Finland, Sweden, and Canada. Four teams, round robin, the four greatest nations on Earth, as selected by an independent panel. They're going to play with each other. They're going to name a Four Nations face-off champion. My guess is one of those two, Finland or Sweden, is placeholding for Russia.
Yes.
Obviously, at some point, you're going to have to let Russia into this. I understand why Russia is not allowed at the moment. I get that. This event will have more credibility when Russia participates, though. I think we all agree. And they got to work out the Russia thing for the Olympics next year. Because, like, in skiing, they do the thing where they just wear a white shirt and they're like, here's so-and-so, an Olympic athlete. Where are they from? Nobody knows. Who are they representing? Nobody knows. When they win, what happens? We play the Olympic anthem. Great. That is harder to do with the whole Russian hockey team. Who do they represent? They're just five guys we found out in the parking lot. They all said they like hockey.
Ready to rock and
roll.
Let's
drop the puck, play some hockey. Ah! Who are they playing for?
Stop asking questions.
I hope they're allowed for Ovi's sake. Ovi winning the cup, great moment for me, great moment for him, cemented his place as one of the all-time greats. I think he really wants to win a gold for Russia. And when they were in Sochi, he felt that pressure, and it didn't go well for him. You think, like, relaxed Ovi, who just set the record, would do some damage him a lot. I'm not rooting for him there. I'm rooting for the red, white, and blue, obviously.
Yep.
But I would be happy for him personally. As a guy who's brought joy to my life for, like, 18 years now, or however long he's been playing hockey. He's old. He's 39. He's old now. He's still rolling. And he's maybe, possibly, going to break this record before the season's over. I'm coming around more and more every day. I'm still on the it's not going to happen side, because the playoffs don't count. But he just keeps scoring goals every time we see him. And now he gets this built-in week-long break. For, like, nobody's playing hockey this week. All the stars are off playing. He's sitting on the couch. He's resting up. I think this is a good thing for the Caps. Hot take. I think this is a good thing for the Caps. So I'm pro Four Nations face-off because of what it means for my team.
For Ovi only.
Will I watch? Yeah, I'll watch. It's hockey. It's internet. Like, I think Olympic hockey is really cool. So I'll give it a try. I'll watch.
Curling? Everything's coming back next year.
Curling's back.
Woo!
Curling's so back. So
that is the pinnacle of that sport.
I am a... our family, we're at Southampton Pool on South Side. Just let's go South Side. They have a little ice rink in the winter. They have painted curling circles in it. But something happened, like the rocks, like, are breaking the ice. So there's some technical issue that we haven't been able to curl yet. But if I have access to all winter curling, this is going to be the best thing that happened to me.
We're going to have an Olympic athlete in studio.
We're going to have curling parties for sure. Next staff meeting, we're going curling. You best believe that. Zach Joachim, Richmond Times-Dispatch on the other side. It's a VCU game night on your home of the Rams. It's 910 The Fan at 105.
Tempe of the mic.
910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, always worldwide on the free Odyssey app. I'm proud to report I finished my taxes last weekend. That's how boring the Super Bowl was. Finished my taxes. I owed the state $600.
Oh.
But the federal government owed me $900.
Very good.
How does that happen? Nobody knows.
The tax slayer knows.
What a great racket. You put your numbers in and it's $600, $900. Those are your numbers. Nobody knows. Somebody knows, but nobody knows. You got to do it by hand to actually know. No, nobody's doing that.
No.
I'm lumping big lump in now. Nobody under 50 is doing their own taxes on pencil and paper. I promise you that. That's just we're just at the full trust of the machines. All these like Terminator movies, like the machines are here to kill us. The machines aren't here to kill us. They're just gonna take $100 from us every year when we do our taxes. They're just gonna slowly get us that way. Because you think I'm gonna call them on it? You think I'm gonna call them out like, you missed by 100?
Right, I only owe 200.
I don't know what happens. It does the little fun graphic, you know. They make it like the papers are circling, and it looks like it's thinking. It's not thinking. It knows. It knew the number before I logged in. You 600? Yeah, that's fair. We think that's fair. All right, next. Now serving D107.
Now serving. The robots are here to steal our tax information.
It's the DMV call number robots. and they're here for us at last. I like the DMV system because unlike the deli, say, where you know where you stand, you never know where you stand in the DMV system.
That is true.
Because they introduce the letters. Like, all right, I'm E97. All right, E97. Here we go. F43.
Oh.
All right. What does it mean? Nobody knows. T7439. Okay. Like, you got to stay on your toes at all times.
Just there in limbo.
There's no, all right, I'm two away, I'm one away.
Right.
There's no planning your time there. Can't do it.
It's your moment when it's your moment.
And if you miss it, your moment's gone. Yeah. They don't have the time to be hunting you down.
Go get a new number.
Go get bingo. I'm going to bring a bingo board next time. Yell out. Bring a battleship.
You're going to get kicked out of the DMV.
I am. You sunk my destroyer. Oh, I'm up. All right, I'm up. I need a driver's license. Jaden Daniels. He's a quarterback of the Washington Commanders. He's kind of popular. He did the rounds on Radio Row last week when we were Bud Light Big Game Week, where I got into trash can trouble, which we'll get into in 9 minutes. Don't worry, I've not forgotten about that. But Jaden Daniels was on ESPN with Kevin Clark, who does the This Is Football podcast. And this is a minute and a half long clip. So it's a long clip, but he's Jaden Daniels, and it's really good. So we're going to listen to the whole thing is what we're going to do.
The fan base, man. I love like riding to a game and seeing everybody tailgating, all the flags and everything, and they're very passionate.
What's been the most emotional, kind of, you know, someone coming up to you at the, you know, at a store or anything? Do you get that a lot?
You know, people will say I changed their lives and stuff like that, and they're thanking me. Some people get very emotional, so it's awesome to see everybody just so excited to be a Washington Commanders fan.
Speaking of history, you know, I have family from the D.C. area,
okay.
And when I hear stories about what it was like in the 80s or the early 90s,
yeah,
it sounds like a different planet.
The best
I just didn't grow up with that.
Right.
How much, now that you're there, now that you're helping resurrect it, how much have you looked back at the history of the franchise and realized how proud it was and how proud it can be again?
Man, I'm blessed to have Doug Williams there.
There you go.
So, I mean, everybody loves Doug. And man, rightfully so, everything he's done for that organization, everything he's done for the game of the sport, and for black quarterbacks, man.
Yep.
You know, he's a living legend. So everybody loves Doug, so we always hear stories about that. And I can see how prideful and how much they treat Doug the right way, because just the joy they brought. And all the legends that come back, man, they show a whole bunch of love.
What's the best advice Doug's given you about anything, whether that's playing in that market, you know, being a young quarterback? What's the best
piece? Yeah, Doug tell me the same thing all the time. Just be you. That's enough. At the end of the day, just be you. You know, I was here for a reason.
Love Doug. Doug's the man. It's also like that's the perfect advice. It's always sometimes because of my role at the newspaper and you know, now here and at the Richmonder and all that, sometimes I get invited to go talk to groups or teams and do what they call media training, right? Which is like, how do you engage with the media? You know, for high school kids who are going to college or college kids, you know, or teams or whatever. And I've chatted with them a couple of times. And the answer to that question is be yourself for most of you. Like for 97% of people, the only media training you need to know is be yourself. The natural you, people like you. People like other people, like naturally. People are predisposed to thinking the best of you. Just be yourself. For 3% of people, that is terrible advice. You should never, ever, ever be yourself. be somebody else. You don't know. The problem is those 3% don't realize they're in the 3%. Some of them do and have very productive careers as the heels on either sports radio or world wrestling. But for most of them, they go through life oblivious. And the rest of us see that and they're like, oh, they came across really poorly. Like, I need some media training. You don't need some media training. You're fine. You're good. They need media training. They need to know they're in the 3%, not the 97%. And it's perfect with Jaden. I've told this story a million times, so why not one more? When RG3 came to town, Doug Williams reached out to him. Hey, let's get lunch. Let's be friends. And Robert was like, nah, I'm good. Right? And that's Jaden checking in with Doug, chatting with Doug. just be yourself. And Jaden is not, this will be an interesting offseason thing because he's going to have a ton of commercial opportunities. He's going to make a ton of money. And he needs to, because as a rookie in the NFL, he doesn't get paid a lot. And that sounds crazy because he's going to make $9 million next year. But everything is relative. In a free market, Jaden Daniels would make $60 million next year. And that's not even a fully free market. That's a salary cap constrained free market. If everybody's playing by the salary cap and paid whatever they want to anybody within the salary cap, he would make $60 million next year, right? So it's okay for him to go get his money. He's not naturally product spokesperson material, but you just hear he's humble, he's genuine. Everybody in that locker room loves him so much and obviously understands what it means to Doug, what it means to us, what it means to the longtime fans, the people we're happiest for in this resurgence. Just so cool that he gets it. And coming from LSU, where it was really a very different situation, right? Hey, Joe Burrow was here a couple minutes ago. Like, are you any good? Because Joe Burrow was good. He had that kind of expectation thrust upon him immediately. Like, this is LSU. Joe Burrow is just here. Like, go do something. And that it's very, very different here. We haven't had anybody in forever. Please be good. Please, please, please be good and don't let us down. And I don't think he will. And you know, I don't think there's a step forward coming next year. We've seen that with C.J. Stroud, Russell Wilson, these rookie quarterbacks who do so well. There's a holding pattern in year two before they shoot off like a rocket to the moon in year three. But if anybody's capable of doing it, this kid's the one who's capable of doing it. Because, man, he knows what he's doing. And even just as he's doing all these national interviews, he's still ticked they lost to the Eagles. And I think that's super cool. Like, the rest of us are like, can you believe NFC title game? He's ticked that he lost that game. He understands what an opportunity that was. I'm not saying he'll be back there next year. The odds are he probably won't be. But I am saying he'll be back there. I think he'll be back there and probably sooner rather than later. Trash can stories waited long enough. Let's take a break. We'll do the trash can story on the other side. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.